Records of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street.
Welcome to the show, broadcasting from my home studio in downtown Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. Worldwide is National Intel Report, live on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network. Welcome to 2 hours of common sense and constitutional discussion. I am your host of the evening, Peter Serafine. Tonight, we've got two guests going to join us at the bottom of this first hour. That's Brent Hamacek and Tamara Lee. They're both coming on. They do, I can't remember the name of their show now. I forgot to write it down. They do a podcast together, Trend on Politics. And then Brent Hamacek is the guy behind humanevents.com and brenthamacek.com and commongroundcampus.com. He's an entrepreneur. So Tamara Lee and Brent Hamacek both going to join us in about 25 minutes. First, we got a little housekeeping to do. I am going to be out of town next week, so I'm not going to be your host next week, the week of Veterans Day, the Thursday. I'm going to be on a plane when the show is airing, flying to Minnesota for my eldest son's wedding. First of my kids to get married, and because he lives in Minnesota and I live in Pennsylvania, I haven't seen him in a while. I'm pretty excited about that. And then, of course, there won't be a show on Thanksgiving Day either. That's Thursday. And you know, the whole network is dark, so I won't be here. So you've only got this show and two more shows this month of mine. So excited to take some time off. And speaking of taking some time off, I'm really trying to figure out what to do in the future as to what with all of my work. I'm overwhelmed. I have taken on too many projects. I put out my third book and immediately started writing a fourth book. And then I had an idea for a fifth book and a textbook and a Constitution course. And I write an article every week for American Free News Network and my own website on the blog. And I'm doing too many things. And I fear that I'm not doing any of them well because I'm doing too many things at once. And I'm trying to prioritize what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing. And I'm really not sure where to go because, to be quite honest, apparently I'm not that great of a radio host because I've never taken off. I must be missing that je ne sais quoi, that little special something, that it factor. Because I've been doing this show for 4 years, and I swear the same handful of people have been listening to me that whole time, and I'm just not growing much. So maybe it's the show that needs to give up. But then again, I write these books and, well, I don't sell maybe 100 copies each so far. You know, maybe the next one will be the big one. Who knows? So maybe writing books is the thing I should give up. Maybe it's the, I don't know. I'm doing too much. I got to give up something and I don't know what that is. If you got it, brilliant suggestion for time management, how I can continue to do all of these things and still keep my beautiful wife happy, that's important. Then, this is a live call-in show, so feel free to call in 512-248-8252. If you got a comment and you don't want to be on air, you can text me. You can text me at 64-MY-RIGHTS. That's 646-974-4487. So I said I write an article every week, and it posts on Friday. And the last couple, just to give you an idea, maybe you might want to go to liberty-lighthouse.com and read these articles. See, 2 weeks ago, I did an article entitled Betrayed Bodies, where I talked about some of the human experiments that our government has sponsored on unsuspecting citizens. We the people. and then kind of wrapped it up by saying, is there any wonder that anybody ever questioned whether or not we should run out and take an experimental vaccine when the COVID vaccine got whooped up in, like, you know, 32 minutes or however long it took them? And then just last week, it was, are we still a constitutional republic? And just kind of kicked around the idea that, so we have this constitution, our government doesn't seem to follow this constitution anymore. So if we're not following our constitution, are we still a constitutional republic? And then tomorrow, the one that comes out is, it's about Grover Cleveland, who I believe was the last constitutionally minded president that we ever had, the last constitutional originalist, if you will. I think Grover Cleveland is quite possibly the most underrated president in American history. I use one example of his quite often, talking about government overreach and the expansion of government. And that's the example of the Texas Seat Act. And for those of you that have heard me tell this brief story before, bear with me. If you're not familiar with the Texas Seat Act, so Texas had been through years of drought. And the farmers, well, they ran out of seeds because they kept planting. And then the crops kept dying because of the droughts. And then eventually, they're out of seeds. So Congress had passed the Texas Seat Act, allocating money to get the farmers seeds. And Grover Cleveland, well, he vetoed that bill. And he vetoed it on the idea that, hey, that's not the job of the federal government. Now, a lot of people might say that that's a heartless thing for a president to do, but I happen to agree. It wasn't one of the things listed in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. Therefore, it's not one of the things that the federal government should be doing. And in true American fashion, the result was the state of Texas took out ads. They took out ads in newspapers across the country saying, we need your help. Send us some seeds. And it was so successful that what ended up happening is the state of Texas had to take out more ads in newspapers all across the country saying, hey, stop, we've got enough seeds. See, we, the people, take care of each other. At least that's how it's supposed to work. We don't need Big Brother standing over our shoulder taking care of us. Federal government was never supposed to be involved in charity, benevolence. It's not part of their role. Social welfare, individual welfare is not part of what the federal government is supposed to do according to our Constitution. And checking on the screen here over in the YouTube chat room, if you're watching in video form anywhere, you can make comments and I see them. I got a good evening from Mr. Curtis. Good evening, sir. And on the phone line, we have Reb in Colorado. On line one, welcome to the show, Reb.
Yeah, this is the old U.S. Pentagon, 13 Boat Scout Reb, heard by tens of millions on none other than Coast to Coast with that lesser individual, George Norrie. He's going to burn in hell. But I got out information. And you said you want a suggestion. I'll do your 2 hours next Thursday like no one's ever heard. And it'll give you a chance to, like, reorganize or something. It sounds like you don't have an overall plan. We do, the three of us. Bo is just in the, like, waiting room. That's all. She's just hanging in there. But I told the National Command Center, I can put them on the line with you now. They don't like it. But I said, hey, look, what's on Bo's computer system is better than anything you got, national emergency. Like I said, we got on that coast to coast, and we were able to tell people, yeah, we're the official business of the United States of America Bo Scout. Before he cut it off, he got in the last word. we're the monster created by the United States Defense Intelligence Agency. That's exactly who we are, intelligence. So why are people failing? Because they don't have any intelligence. That's the real reason. There's no
military intelligence. Definitely counterintuitive. And Curtis over in that YouTube chat room, he said, government has grown larger because people have grown lazy. And I completely agree with Curtis.
Wait. There's nothing wrong with government. Where's the government? What's wrong is what they placed around America to get you all screwed. The regional system. And we studied it and how to knock it out. That's gone. UN goes, all these world agencies go. It's centered in your backyard in 10 federal regions. We know what happened. That's why they hit us right across the street from Federal Region 8. We were attacked at the CBI headquarters in the state of Colorado, which is on the, it's adjacent to the northeast corner of Federal Region 8, which also on the other side of that fence, it's at Kipling and 6th Avenue in Lakewood, Colorado, where we are. And it's got an Army Reserve. One company goes, takes it over. I told that to Secretary Arsec, Secretary of the Army Office. I'm the one who comes ahead of things with the information that says, how'd you get that? We're ahead of you. We went to a national security briefing. Mr. Santiago.
All right, let's back up a minute. Let's back up to where you said, I don't have a plan. Well, you're sort of right. I have a goal, but I don't have a plan as to how to get there. My goal, I want
to
be known.
To use the relief. You have to use relief. That's who we are. It'll change your whole thinking when you hear, hey, somebody's active. We got, like I said, we got on coast to coast. He cut off, but it got out. I switched the radio on. It had a long enough delay, so we had about a couple of minutes before the idiot cut us off. And I told the intake person, literally called, this is real. It was a doctor talking about your subconscious takes the lead in everything you do. He was an MD, and he's right. You know, if you see something and your subconscious ain't going to, it overrules whatever you else you want to do. And he was giving that discussion, which is exactly what's happening with us. That's why we don't just react. We're ahead of things. So you got to be able to anticipate. And that's what we did in the first decade of the century. It's all out. What you're seeing now is the decades they put together, this war on especially those white boys. The other two are double chromosome female. But that's what was coming in the 90s. I said, we better do something. So we were ready before they hit us. And we knew what to do. Nobody would even know. Contact the Defense Intelligence Agency. They're a crude bunch. You don't want to deal with them unless you got something. Well, we got something big. And
right.
In this case, they took the Jags. And the
back up. You started your conversation, you started your comment with the I don't have a plan stuff and volunteering to host next show, next week's show for 2 hours. So let's hear from other listeners who would like to have Reb host a show for 2 hours next Thursday.
You can get on the air no matter what. We don't care how many get on the air. I'll hang back. They can ask questions. Most people don't ask me real questions because we're ahead of them. We got things out before they can ask. But you can ask.
Well, then help me. My ultimate goal is I want to be known as a constitutional expert. I want to be known as one of the people that you can call on to talk in, you know, give speeches,
courses,
and all that kind of stuff. What's that?
You're going to have to run for Congress. That's the only way. They just put in a new Speaker of the House.
I don't want to do that. I want to teach we the people about the Constitution again, since nobody else is.
You can't do it from your position. If you make enough noise in Congress, damn right they're going to hear about it. Look at the scatterbrains they hear from every day on the enemy broadcast. And if you're the big mouth, they're going to hear from you, whether they want to or not. I mean, These are idiots, the ones they hear from. They don't have our plan is to keep working hard and take the people seriously. What the hell does that even mean? Everything's going down the sewer, you jerk. What are you talking about? It's, the whole institutions are wrong because they're not running anything except their worthless mouths and two-bit opinions. And the real action is right in your backyard, you jerks. It's staring in your face. It's the 911 system. I've been saying this for, like, since I got on the radio with Mike Levion in 2017, when I first got on. I said, you know, you're not looking at forward. That's your enemy, jerk. It's staring you in your face. Don't go blaming the goofballs in Hollywood East Coast, that DC freak show. They don't even know what's going on down here. They're on the freaking front lines of this. Even the generals. You wrote a book, Mr. McInerney, Mr. Valley. These are top generals from the Secretary of Defense office. And they wrote a book, How to Beat the Drug Cartel. No, you bring in the gang and go get them. We know where they are. It's like they're not just crossing the border with backpacks. These jerks have a business office open and selling it on the Navajo Redskin Reservation in the Four Corners. How do we know about this? Because we do the recon. We're better than pathfinders. We already figured out where everything's going before they start. You could see our Twitter account. It's called Solar Radiation Management on Bubba Scout Rabbit Rev Bubba. That plane, I was in that aircraft, by the way, not on the ground at NASA. It's a NASA aircraft that monitors the tests of these H-bombs when they were testing them big time in the 50s until that goof Kennedy, I guess in 62, they signed a test ban treaty for atmospheric testing. But this was in the magnetosphere. You could see that plane shadowed it, and they just, thanks a lot, jerks, for ruining the ozone layer, you dumbasses. This is what they do. And so that plane is a high-altitude aircraft, the WB-57. So from 57 to 62, that's what it was doing. I was in the aircraft. I actually saw the instruments and everything. It's a, you know, it's a little four-seater, and it's got weather instrument. It monitors all this activity. And you'll see the mushroom cloud in the background. It's shadowing it, and they have their tinted windows and everything, and they wear dark glass. And they have to test how it affects the atmosphere. Not good. Bad. Real bad. And you weren't supposed to do that, but that's so they can modify planet's climate. That's the climate change they're talking about. And it's been going on. And we knew about this for decades. And other people, you'll read it. It's on Bubba Scout Rabbit, Rev Bubba. There's several comments about that because we were ahead of this stuff in 19... Well, I was busy somewhere else in 1970. I had a place to go to. It sucked. When I got back, I saw the Earth Day in 1971. And that was the first one I got to attend. And it was... They were a little bit behind, but they were, you know... They're kooks and goofballs, but they had the right idea. And people are knowing now we're running out of time. And that's the thing. We tell them, ground those damn spray tankers. They're out of, like, that air base and off at Chanute and Omaha and out in Wyoming. And they have these air bases of, where they have these tanker planes. Even they told me there's a KC-12, not just the 135. I said, ground them stupid things. You could see the tic-tac-toe boards in the sky most of the time. And this is contributing to all the poisoning you're getting, and they're going to dump this, it's called forever particles that you don't want. They're doing that. And why are they doing that? Who's going to benefit? Not you. And why are they thinking, you see, the people you don't know about, they're getting the tap go underground. That's what's happening now. Their flunkies are right. Fighting it out in Congress. They're headed underground. And you don't know about things we know from Port Canaveral. We're connected to Cape Canaveral now. Port Canaveral is an unloading point for Gulf Tainer. You never heard of this.
Well, I graduated high school from Satellite Beach. I graduated high school from Satellite Beach High School.
Well, so you were there. Did you see
right
Port
down
Canaveral?
The road from Port Canaveral and Cape Canaveral. And I'm one of the few people in the world. This is exciting to me. Anyway, as a high schooler, I was in Air Force ROTC, and I got to ride a helicopter and actually fly over the space shuttle as it was sitting on the launch pad. And that was pretty awesome.
I got to get up close to the Challenger when I was talking with Crippen and Young. This was back in 1981.
Right.
They made the first landings on the dry lake, and they flew into Texas. And I got asking them about the dead stick landings and stuff. I'm a helicopter pilot, but those people, they did the first dead stick landing, and behind them was the shuttle sitting on the back of the 747 for us VIPs. It was right on top. That was the Challenger. It didn't make it. I think the Discovery later didn't make it either. So they still have Atlantis, Enterprise, and Columbia still in the mothballs somewhere. But I've seen them up close and personal. So, I mean, I know that, like I said, I was in that NASA plane, too, that WB-57. On the ground. I didn't go for a ride in it, but I'm just...
All right, Rip. I got to catch off, man. We're running out of time here.
You're going to let me gonna be on next week, and we'll explain. Everyone can call in. It's not...
Well, Mike, the producer, says he's not totally against the idea, so why don't you stay on the line and talk to Mike about it? And Curtis over in the YouTube chat room says that you need to call the Daily Mojo. And they're a Monday through Friday show over on the Mojo 50 radio network. And I think they would enjoy it. But I got to let you go. Got James in North Carolina on the phone behind you, and we're coming up to a break.
All right. Me and you are about the same age. Well, we are the same age. We're both 50.
Yep.
And you've been trying to, you've been teaching the Constitution and all this stuff. Well, you sound like me at my job. I run around preaching beans and bullets and know your rights. And you know what? Eventually, a lot of people just, they auto-tune you out.
Right.
So sometimes you have to pull back and take care of you and just, you know what I'm saying? That's what you're suffering from, burnout. You know?
Well, my problem is I started doing politics without a plan. I didn't even realize that I was a constitutional originalist. I just knew something was wrong. And then recently realized that I'm a constitutional originalist. Recently really dove in and studied the Constitution. And I'm developing courses. Like, I want to teach it. I want to be, you know, invited to political galleries and, you know, whatever, meetings. Wow. Why couldn't I think of that word?
Yeah.
You know, to meetings to do speeches or courses. I want to, you know, go to the Elks Club and the Moose Club and all those kinds of places and teach them what I know. And this is all relatively new. I never had this thought until, I don't know, a month or so ago. And I want to get there, but I don't know how to get there. How do you build the name recognition enough to get those invites?
Well, you've got a lot on your plate. You write books. You do a regular show. You do this. Well, think about it. In order to do that, you're going to have to get out there and put your name out there. You just can't do it, you know, through the radio, because a lot of the people that listen to this, you've been on here. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, you've been doing this show about a year, and you think about it, you've been writing books, and you have another, you know, you do a blog, and all that other stuff that you do.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you,
that's what I'm saying.
And you have a
I think something's got to give.
You have a personal life. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, James, we're coming up to break. Got to let you go. Thank you very much for your call.
All right.
On the other side of the break, we got Tamara Lee and Brent Hamachek, both supposed to be joining us. 3-minute commercial break. Be back.
Do Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
HempPaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit HempPaste.com/RBN.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Peter Serafin. Please remember that free speech is not free, and free speech networks like this one, wherever you're watching or listening from, well, then we need your help. Use our promo codes and share our content out, and you know, buy our merchandise and donate if you are one of those fortunate enough to do it. Yeah, I said we got Brett Hamachek and Tamara Lee are both supposed to be joining us here in this segment. And, well, here's Brent.
Where do you go when you want the truth about current human events? You go to Brent Hamachek over at humanevents.com, brenthamachek.com, and over on Common Ground Campus. And now, welcome in the studio, Brent Hamachek.
Evening, sir.
Good evening. I'm happy to be here.
And this is going to be bad, but Tamara Lee has also joined us, but I don't have a fun and exciting intro to play for Tamara.
Well, I could sing a ditty or two, but we'll just let her beauty speak for itself. How's that?
Well, welcome to the show, both of you. Tamara and Brent, Trend on Politics is their show that they do together. And where can we find that? Oh, can't hear you, Tamara. I think you might have yourself muted. Is it Your News? Is that what it is?
Yournews.com, yes.
Yournews.com. Oh, yeah. There it is. Well, just a reminder for all of those people out there, this is a live call-in show, so call in at 512-248-8252 with your questions, comments, concerns, compliments, criticisms, whatever the case may be.
And if you don't, we love callers.
We love callers. And if you've got a comment but you don't want to be on air, because some people just don't, you can text those to me at 64 by rights. That's 646-974-4487. So, what do you want to talk about tonight? I have a couple of ideas, but I want to see what you have in your heads right now. Both.
Well, there's absolutely nothing going on in the world. I don't know how we'll find time to talk, how we'll find anything to talk about.
I thought you were going to say there was absolutely nothing going on in your head right now.
that's generally the case.
Right. But,
take us wherever you want to go, and we'll be nimble with you. I will share with your audience, since we always talk about Common Ground Campus, that we have an event coming up on November 14th at Hope College in Holland, Michigan. And just prior to this broadcast, I was meeting with the four students who will be participating in the event. They are bright. They are open-minded and willing to engage. We're going to take on diversity, equity, and inclusion, because we wanted to pick something that wasn't controversial.
Not at all.
And very, very much looking forward to being on campus and working with those four students, and hopefully not solving problems. We're not that naive, but we will show people that problems can be solved, and that's the goal.
And for those of you that aren't familiar with Brent's project, Common Ground Campus, they get a diverse group of college kids together in one place, and they basically force them to listen to each other, which is it's amazing. Like if you watch the news and you see these college kids just going knee-jerk reaction to everything, to have them sit and actually listen to and hear the other side, That's quite the accomplishment, and I commend you for even trying to make that happen anywhere.
Well, thanks. One of the points that people bring up when I talk to them about the program, calling an objection almost, is they'll say, "Look, why are you bothering? It's so hopeless. Look what's going on college campuses." I've heard a lot of that this month because of what's happening on college campuses with regard to what's going on in the Middle East. And they said, what's the point? You can't reach enough students. You can't make enough change. And my somewhat rhetorical response to that has become, you're missing the point. I don't have to reach 330 million people. There was only one Napoleon. There was only one Winston Churchill. It doesn't take overwhelming numbers to create change. It takes small focus numbers, strong individual leaders. So we never know with the students that, whether they're on the panel or in the audience or watching the videos afterwards, we never know who will touch and what kind of impact we'll have. So we're not looking for 330 million people. We're looking for a handful that might want to try to change the world.
Right. And that's the same arena as when somebody says to me, well, my vote doesn't matter, I'm just one vote. Well, you're one vote if you don't talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, talk to somebody else. You're not one vote anymore. Now you're as many people as you influence. Over in the YouTube chat rooms, free speech on college campuses,
what is that, huh?
Yeah, we don't see a whole lot of that anymore.
Well, it's as bad as people think, and then it isn't. So here's what we learn everywhere we go, and that is that if you take students out of a setting where they get to just sort of openly argue with one another, and if you take them away from a social media platform for an hour, and you sit them in front of one another, and I always like to say that these screens we use are only two-dimensional. They lack depth, right? They have height and width. Well, that's more than just a literal problem. It's a metaphorical one because they lack depth in terms of the engagement. And so what we do is we put people in front of each other in three dimensions and we bring depth to the engagement. And when we do that, all we've been is successful. And the students in the audience that see these events are blown away by them. The reaction we get is quite extraordinary. And so we're going to keep doing it as long as we can. And I hope to have success wherever we go.
Well, I think that particular project, I think that's great work. I really do. And you're right. The actions of today are proving that that the college campus is definitely something that we need to focus on. And they are, you know, tomorrow's leaders. That's where all of this craziness of today started.
I can interject. I don't know if Brent has shared this with your audience before, but it really, the origin of Common Ground Campus came out of an article Brent wrote several years ago about how to talk to each other instead of talking past each other. And he probably, being the modest man that he is, hasn't talked about that enough, but it really was out of this. We've lost the art of being able to have civil discourse, not just on college campuses, but everywhere in society. And so maybe we can hope that if we start on college campuses, it will carry through with them into adulthood. And the current state amongst adults, where we can't even talk to each other, will change and be improved. So I had a college, my daughter, she's out now, but she went to a very liberal college. And very intense politically as I am on the right, she was with her issues. And we would agree to share something of the other's point of view and have to digest it and then talk about it with each other, why we saw it from our point of view, and to find out what we were putting into our own kind of our input in terms of information. So I think this is really great with starting on the campuses, because as I understand it, it's not a debate. It's that they have to come up with some solutions together.
I've seen what he's done. I've watched a video or two. It's really interesting stuff. I greatly appreciate it. And I agree. Again, over in the YouTube chat room, it seems like people no longer have the basic communication skills. And that is definitely true. And then back over to the phone lines, we have Andy in Texas on line one. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Well, hey, thank you, my friend. Hey, I appreciate your guests. You know, the one thing that really bothers me is that we have a tendency, we can discuss this as much as we want to, but we're not doing anything about it.
Hold on, Andy. You get a pretty bad phone connection. You're breaking up a whole bunch, and I really can't understand what you're saying. So now you're still breaking up. It sounds like a bad cell signal, and I don't know if you're on a cell phone or not, but it's pretty garbled.
Well, let me call that in.
All right,
give it another try.
Yeah,
sometimes
give yourself
that works.
A better signal and call back. I'm sure Mike will patch you right through. Thanks, Andy. Well, Tamara, talk about another article that Brent did. One of the first things I saw that Brent did was his article talking about team left and team right and how the political divide has how it came to be, and how, you know, we pick our team based on, you know, our personal beliefs or values, usually around one significant issue, maybe one, or, you know, maybe a handful of issues. And then my team agrees with me on these things, and therefore I agree with everything else, or I pretend to agree. I go along with what they, even if it's something I've never even thought about, I just kind of go along with it.
Well, I can tell you, and then Brent can talk about his content way better than I can, but I have had the honor of knowing Brent for a long time when all of these articles first sort of came to light and came out of him, and I'm like, more people need to know about what this stuff is. And I'm not sure if you're on the How America Broke Its Wings, which I think is going to be revived. He's bringing the bird back to life.
That is the piece I was talking about in particular. Now, Brent and I have my own version of the left-right paradigm. And it's a little different. And I've shown Brent, and we've talked about it. I don't think you've ever seen it. So
I have not. I'm kind of new to
this. This is my version. And on the far left of my version is totalitarian government, where everything is controlled by government. And on the far right of my version is no government whatsoever. So anarchy.
Yeah, right.
And so going left from left to right, you've got, you know, totalitarianism and communism and socialism and, you know, socially democrat, and then the kind of sort of centrist, and then the classic liberal type person, then libertarian, and then anarchy. So this is my version of the left-right paradigm. And my belief is that a constitutional republic, a government that is, you know, bound by rules and laws and all of those kinds of things, it falls a little right of center, but not all the way on the extreme right. Now, in today's world, if you say that you're a constitutional originalist, like I feel I am, mm-hmm. I'm immediately labeled as far right. But by this version of the paradigm, I'm a little right of center.
Well, I will say a couple comments, and then I'll let Brent get a word in edgewise, because he accuses me of never letting him do that. But I like how you have totalitarianism at the top of the cliff, because it's like right over what's next after that. You're over the cliff. So good placement there. One of the best things I learned from Brent early on when he was teasing all this stuff out there was the spectrum from the right left. And he had the same markers, I think, except he had total freedom on one end, right? Mm-hmm. Our true constitutional freedom, and then the tyranny on the others. And then, and this is very important, because it has been an invaluable lesson that I think should be asked all the time when anybody, whether it's at the local level on up to our U.S. Congress, when we go to enact a law, and Brent can correct me if I get tongue-tied on this. The question should be, how much freedom are we willing to give up so that government can intervene to solve this problem? And so it moves us one way or the other. And if it moves us too far away from where we're comfortable with giving up our freedoms, then it ought not be a law. And so then we have to come back to some other solution. But I thought that was brilliant. Probably almost 10 years ago, did you write that? When did you write that?
So Tamara is not doing herself enough credit. She was along with me well before it was ever published in 2015. She's right. I am about to update it along with the piece I wrote afterwards on individual communication and why we're divided individually. What's breaking? So I've got what breaks down societally and then what breaks down individually. But she helped me develop these ideas. And, the question she brings up is the right one. It goes to the heart of our Common Ground Campus program. So I just spend time talking to our students, I mentioned, who are going to participate. And I said to each one of them, as they get ready to bring up a specific problem that they see that relates to diversity and equity and inclusion on campus, when they get ready to bring up that problem, I want them to have in mind what their ideal solution is. And then when they get a chance to throw out what they would do about the problem, then I said, be prepared then for somebody to say, okay, I get that, I understand it, but that could create another problem. And then you need to listen to them, and you need to hear what their concern is. This is the way it works in a business setting. So in a business setting, you've got a troubling issue, a bad situation with the company, and you're in a room with people, and somebody says, look, we can solve the problem this way. And they've got a definitive, clear idea. And then somebody will say, you know what? We could do that, but if we do, we're going to wind up hurting our two major vendors. And then what happens? You say, oh, all right, so what could we do then about that? still trying to stay with the structure of your original idea to solve the problem, but then incorporating what you just heard from somebody else as an objection. And so this is what we've lost our ability to do as a nation. Our idea of compromise now, or problem solving is a better word than compromise. Our idea of problem solving now is to spend more money on other programs to make somebody happy. Yep. So a bill gets stalemated and you say, well, we can't do that. And you say, well, what about if I give you money for something you like? And this is not problem solving. This is sort of a form of, I don't know what it is. It's just
a grotesque way of
spending other people's money and trying to placate others long enough to get what you want. That's not problem solving. And it is true. It's true that every time a law is passed, by definition, we lose individual freedom. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't want to lose individual freedom. It's probably a good thing that we don't allow ourselves to murder others wantonly, although some would make the argument to the contrary. But when we say we can't murder somebody, we give up our freedom to murder them, of course. So the question always has to be asked to address the concern we've got: how much individual liberty do we want to sacrifice in order to solve that problem? How far are we willing to go? And be prepared to understand that if you constantly are sacrificing lots of liberty to solve problems, soon there's nothing left to be able to sacrifice. It's gone.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, the bigger government gets, any government, whether it's your local government or the federal government, or regardless of the form of government, the bigger government gets, the less problem solving they do. And they get into more problem creating, if you want to ask me. Over in the video chat rooms, we got Paul again. There's no such thing as left or right. That there is divisive. Mainstream media plays that ploy for decades. As far as I'm concerned, there's only right and wrong. Interesting take. And then, of course, we got Curtis, who says, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Run!
Right. Well,
on the phone line, Andy is back. So let's see if he's got a better connection. Andy is on line one.
Well, hey, can y'all hear me this time?
Much better, Andy.
Yes.
Oh, I sure appreciate that. You know, let's think about this. Every time they add a law to the books and stuff, they never take one off. So we got like 2.5 million laws that are just throughout our entire nation, and we're supposed to know every one of them, because ignorance of the law is no excuse. And here we are. You and I were just born on this planet, and everything that was set up now and has progressed and whatnot, we were born into that. And you don't feel right about it. Nor do I, nor do your guests. Nobody here feels right about what's going on in this world and stuff. But on the same token, when you have a government that they are very quick to go to war, and what they want to do is they want to send your children to war. They want to send your children to war because they're not going to send theirs. They'll find a way to hide their kids from the war and stuff. These people are warmongers, and they all they want is war, and they want you and me to go fight it for them.
And they want us to pay for it.
Right. Well, yeah. Let's unpack that a little bit. So there's a couple different points you bring up. Let's talk about the one of so many laws. And because this is what I call the children's art project problem. So anybody who's had kids can imagine their child, their five-year-old, sitting at the kitchen table, maybe with some crayons and a blank piece of paper, and they're drawing a picture. And you leave the kitchen, you come back in a little bit, and you look, and gosh, they've drawn kind of a good picture. You didn't know your kid could draw that well. And it's got a house and mom and dad holding hands and the sun and a tree, maybe. And you say, wow, that's pretty good. I'm really impressed. It's a wonderful picture. And then you leave the room again and you come back and it's the same picture. But now all of a sudden there's an airplane underneath the house. There's a mouse inside a window. There's something that looks like maybe it was a cloud, but it doesn't really look quite right. And you look at that picture and you say, wow, you know, the picture was pretty good before. And they say, well, I'm not done yet. And then when you come back the next time, all of a sudden it's something macabre and you can't even understand what they're drawing. This is the problem we have as civilized societies. We can't stop making laws. We can't. And I use the word can't deliberately. I do not believe it's a controllable problem. I think that once you start the process of legislating, then you get into the trap of thinking every time you see a problem, well, if it's a problem, we should solve it, right? And how can we solve it? Well, we'll solve it not by agreeing to do better. We'll agree to solve it by passing another law. And pretty soon it looks like that five-year-old's art project. And that's what we've done to our legal structure here in this country.
Well, I personally, you know, being the constitutional originalist person, I go back to there's roughly, looking at only federal law, Andy mentioned, you know, in toto, so including state and local laws and all that, but only federal law, there's, give or take, about 30,000 federal laws on the books. But there are over 300,000 federal regulations. Now, what's the difference between a law and a regulation? Well, if you look them up in a dictionary and you read it with a common sense perspective, what you find out is really the only difference between a regulation and a law is if there's a punishment attached for non-compliance. So a regulation that has a punishment, it's a law. So now we have administrative law. Well, that's unconstitutional. Article 1 clearly begins with the words, all legislative power shall be vested in a Congress. Nowhere does it say that Congress can delegate that authority, and it certainly doesn't say that it can delegate that authority to an entire different branch of government. They can't take a legislative power and give it to an executive branch agency. That is completely unconstitutional. It goes against everything that has anything to do with separation of powers.
Well, I'll do this first. The problem with that is, of course, that the courts have said that it is constitutional. Now, the Supreme Court is taking back up what's called the Chevron deference rule. For your audience's benefit, the Chevron deference, what do we call it? My brain just went completely blank. This is an old age thing. It is an accepted rule that's being followed. That's not what I want to say. But it's something established by the courts that basically said, thank you. Goodness gracious, this old age thing is terrible. I hope I put myself, my ham in the oven later and not myself. Look, it is a ruling that basically said that it was okay for Congress to delegate its lawmaking authority to bureaucracy, in very simple terms. That's been being chipped away at over time. It was chipped away at with the EPA ruling last year, but it was a very narrow ruling when the EPA was said to have gone too far in some of its energy regulations. It's coming back around again, and it would be nice if we could get the Supreme Court to ultimately agree with what you just said and what I certainly believe our founding fathers would say if they were around.
Here's my problem with how you started that. And that's, you know, the Supreme Court says this. Well, if you go by the Supreme Court rulings, you know, Brown versus Board of Education really didn't overturn Plessy versus Ferguson. Technically, segregation based on race, separate but equal, is still accepted legal precedent. Brown versus Board of Education only applied to education. Same thing with oh, one of my favorite ones, the freaking the farmer that grew too much wheat. 1942, Willard V. Filburn. Supreme court cases in general, any court case is only binding to the two parties involved in that case. We have got to stop thinking that if the Supreme Court says something about this particular case, that it applies to everything in our country. That is part of the thinking of the American people and the thinking of the idiots in the black robes sitting behind the bench. That is not how it's supposed to work. And then going back to the Constitution wasn't written for the Supreme Court. It was written for we the people. It was written in plain language so that you and I could understand it, so that you and I could tell the Supreme Court to put down sand when they get it wrong. What? Well, it's break time. It's the top of the hour. Brent Hamacek and Tamara Lee with us tonight. We're going to stick around for at least one more segment. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Sarah in Oregon, hang on the phones.
And I'll be back in two.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice, my mother was down with some sort of fever, people at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
States.
With
anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.